Open your Bible this morning to the book of Ecclesiastes, would you? That's a little bit more unusual to go to it, one of the books of wisdom, but Ecclesiastes is a book where the tire meets the road. It's very practical. It makes observations. One of the key phrases in the book is under the sun, under the sun. It's talking about physical stuff you see. It's talking about the natural life a lot. It doesn't have all the answers concerning God at all, but it's got a lot of wisdom in it. And I want you to go to chapter 9 in the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're going to start in about verse 13, read about five verses. I hope you'll open your Bible, and maybe you want to mark this. It'll help you out some. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, wronged for doing right. Wronged for doing right. Chapter 9, verse 13. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet, no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quite more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. But one sinner destroyeth much good. I want you to go back with me to verse 15. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. In other words, they did him wrong for doing right. And the Chinese proverb says, why do you hate me? I haven't tried to help you yet. You get the point? Now, I hate to say it, but that's what happens under the sun. That's the natural life. That's natural man. That's the stuff we live with and we see all the time. It's a sad truth and a sad commentary on the sinful, fallen, depraved nature of mankind. Very true. You know, we often observe this, and as a pastor, I've heard it so many times and personal stories and known of it being in so many lives. This very truth that somebody got wronged, even though they were doing right and they deserved to be rewarded for it, they got mistreated. That's a big thing in life today. And it happens in family relationships quite often. Siblings growing up have a lot of pain from this. Some sibling says, I was the black sheep in the family. I was mistreated. Somebody else got more than me. We've all heard that. Maybe we've lived through it. And many people still have pain and scars from what happened to them actually in childhood. Hurt feelings? By the way, hurt feelings prove you have a soul. Did you know that? Think about it with me. When you have hurt feelings, what is it that hurts? Your liver? Your kidney? You say, my heart? No, that's the blood pump. What hurts? Something you can't see, but something you feel. It's your soul. It hurts deep. Every kid knows what it is to slip off and cry by himself and have his feelings hurt. No doubt about that. I certainly went through it. Every kid went through it. And you know who can hurt your feelings the most? The one that you love the most and should love you the most. Right? Sure, we've been there. I remember one time I was only 5 years old, barely five, and we during World War II, and my dad was working in a munitions plant, and we had moved across the land out of the promised land of Georgia into Alabama, and was living in an old house, and there was a big deal that we got to go occasionally on a Saturday night to the little town to watch a shoot 'em up cowboy movie. But that particular night, it was not a shoot 'em up cowboy movie. It was some kind of regular movie the kind I would not have picked. But I remember Mother saying to Daddy, she said, "This is going to be kind of sad. And Mickey has, he'll get his feelings hurt. He's sensitive to this sort of thing." Now, I overheard her say that, so I kind of steeled myself for it, you know. And sure enough, it was about some kind of kid that was being mistreated, some kind of orphan kid. I think the name of the movie was Smokey. I don't know what that meant. But it was a little boy, just probably an 11-year-old boy. And the gang of boys in town kind of picked on him, and they kind of mistreated him. And naturally, my feelings went out for Smokey. I believe that was his name. And I remember one scene where the gang was chasing him through the streets, and he was trying to hide from them. And one of the boys chasing him had on glasses. And he stumbled, and his glasses went off, and he couldn't see, and he was looking all over for them, and Smokey was hiding, but Smokey came out and helped the kid find his glasses and put them back on him. And guess what the kid done? He turned and grabbed Smokey and hollered for the others to come, mistreated him, rendered him wrong for doing right. And it kind of broke my heart. My mother was watching over there. And did you ever, I don't even need to ask this question. Every kid grows up getting his feelings hurt sometime or another. Generally by a relative, somebody like that. I remember one time, the house is still standing. I'm going to go back there one of these days, and I'm going to walk in the kitchen. And you see, in the old days, they'd have a light bulb coming out of the roof, and they'd have a string, and you'd walk in. You didn't have a switch on the wall. You pull the string. Anybody remember that? Well, that string was kind of over the dining table in that particular house. I remember it well. And it was my aunt's house. Well, my favorite aunt, she had four girls, no boys. Mama had two boys. There was a conflict every time we got together. That youngest daughter was mean. And she tried to pick on me, and I wouldn't let her. I'd defend my rights. Right? Amen. Anyway, I clearly remember that this younger daughter, her name was Maxine. Maxine and I were going at it. We were arguing. We were fussing. And I remember that my Aunt Mamie came in. And Aunt Mamie picked me out for the bad one and the wrong. And she gave me a tongue lashing. And I was trying to argue and defend my position. And you know what she said to me? She said, "Just hush your big mouth. I think you're going to grow up and be a preacher." That's what she said. Hurt my feelings. I didn't know nothing about a preacher. Nobody in that house was going to church. And I remember this as clearly as I remember where I'm standing right now. It hurt my feelings. And I remember what I did when she walked away. I took my fist, and that string was hanging down with a little weight on the end. You remember that? And I remember I took my fist, and I hit that string, and I said, "Well, I might be a good preacher one day." Now, you don't believe that, but that's... somebody said, "When did God call you to preach?" Might have been then. I didn't know it. Way back then. But it hurt my feelings. I knew she was calling me a bad name. I knew she was ridiculing me, my big mouth and all. But I'm going to go back and see if that string is still hanging there one day. I remember where I got my feelings hurt by somebody that probably did love me, but at the moment I didn't think she did for sure. But you know, that's not just with us. It was in the Bible days. How about King David's family? Ever remember King David's family in the Bible? Didn't Absalom, when his half-sister was violated, didn't he kill his brother? Wasn't there a great big disturbance in David's household? Sure. I mean, somebody was done wrong for doing right. And then you go back to Joseph, way back before King David. Remember Joseph and his brother? Remember how Joseph had a dream and he shared it with his brother, and his brother turned on him and sold him into slavery down in Egypt? Don't you think Joseph had a broken heart, some hurt feelings? I suspect he did. He was mistreated by his brother. And you know, today we see the same thing. I've just recently, I guess it was last week maybe, I heard about somebody trying to find out where their real mother was, because she abandoned them when she was born, when this baby was born, the mother, and they were trying to find the mother again. I run across this as a pastor because some of those scars and some of those hurts, I run across people saying, I was not a wanted baby. I even know of one that lived that was supposed to be aborted. And that grown-up child now says, I was never wanted. I was forsaken. I'm not even supposed to be here. They tried to kill me, and somehow they lived through it. And we see a lot of abandoned babies with abortions even that failed and other things. And I'm a liar, but I wasn't wanted. Parents, I'm going to give you a little piece of advice. Don't ever even give an impression that kid come along unwanted. That's a scar that will last them right on and on and on. We see that. Yes, we see this wrong for doing right, this thing that happens, this bad principle here that happens even in family relationship. It happens in friendships, don't it? Worst thing for friends to turn on you. Betray you. I don't know how much you know about Shakespeare. I know he bored me when I was in school. I had a teacher named Ms. Hatfield. You better study your Shakespeare, brother. So I learned of what you two boute means. You know, anybody know what that Latin says? That was Caesar pointing out his friend Brutus that was also in the gang that came with the knives to assassinate Caesar. Remember, you two boute, you in here, you're my friend, you're with them, and everybody's assassinating me, killing me, stabbing me, and I never expected you. Boy, that hurts Caesar deeper than the knife cuts. Somebody, you know, remember Shakespeare the warning given to Caesar about the Ides of March? All that business, you remember that? But you know what? The hurt is greater when it comes from the opposite, from the side that should have been your friends, the one that deceived you, the one that should have been on your side. Kids are hurt most by those that's supposed to love them. I've counseled with families, and I mean when a daddy or a mama or a relative supposed to love and protect the kid, and they're the very ones abusing them. Boy, that's a deep scar. That's a terrible, terrible, terrible hurt. You know, the penalty for treachery is great in the military. Treachery is, it brings the greatest. It brings the death penalty. Penalty for treachery is the highest. I think about a man by the name of Benedict Arnold. Remember the name? Infamous for being a traitor. That he was in the Revolutionary War. You remember, they say if you go to the Saratoga battlefield today, you'll see a place there where some of the heroes of the battle have their image or their stature, and they have a great blank, empty place where Benedict Arnold's image is supposed to be, because he was the traitor. He was a traitor to General George Washington. You remember the story? They say if you go to West Point today and you look on the wall where all the shields identifying the revolutionary heroes, that there's a blank place on the wall where Benedict Arnold, the traitor, his shield's supposed to be. But it's not there. It's not there. I look around today and I see how our president gets treated. I think of this very thought right here. He's being wronged for doing right. Very, very much so. His treatment. You know, he had the right, and if he'd called me up and asked me, I'd have told him to do it. I'd have fired the whole swamp. Amen. There wouldn't have been any of them left when I got in. But you know, he was long-suffering and willing and left their jobs, and the very ones has become traitors to him. Turned back, abusing him, lying on him. I'm glad none of his family's turned on him. But boy, what about the rest of them? You talk about being wronged for doing right. I asked somebody, they said, what do you think about the impeachment? I said, impeaching for what? Improving the economy? Building a wall to protect our borders? What are you going to impeach him for? Because he don't like the homosexual agenda, because he's stopping some of the baby killing? Is that what you want to impeach him for? Sad, ridiculous truth. We're seeing all that foolishness going on today. No doubt about it. No, he had a right to fire the ambassador and all the rest of them. He'd have been smarter to do it, I think. But to the greatest, the very greatest example we could point you to of being wronged for doing right is Jesus. Jesus. Oh, yes. The greatest. He only done good works. Over in John chapter 10, around verse 30, 32 in that area, Jesus said to those that were wanting to stone him, he said, I've shown you many good works from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? For which of these good works do you stone me? Of course, they had no answer for that, no correct answer. And I look around today and I see this same principle. I see it in our political situation in Washington. I see it in so many ways. I see it in families. I see it in friendships. And I see how that it is amazing. Sometimes the person that deserves the best gets the worst. I want to say this, though, folks. The game's not over yet. One day, there'll be a balancing up time. One day, it'll all come out, as we like to say, in the wash, so to speak. I think about when Jesus went to the cross. I ask the question, where was the blind man? Where was the cripple he made to walk? Where was the crowd, the hungry crowd that he fed? And you read the Bible and you don't see them there. You don't hear them crying out. As they cried out, away with him, crucify him, we'll not have this man reign over us. We don't see where his friends were. Now, I've read some of the archives of the Roman government. And according to the governor Pilate, there was some of the good guys in the crowd, but they were silenced by the mob. They were silenced by the Roman guards and by the temple guards of the Jews. They were silenced, but they were there, even to the place that Pilate said he feared aright because they were crucifying an innocent man. A man that had done good was being wronged there at the cross of Calvary. I think about Judas. Remember Judas? Judas was somewhat predicted. If we went all the way back to the 41st Psalm and picked it up in verse 9, listen to what it would say. Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Now, I think in the context that might have referred to Ahithophel, who was a friend and counselor of King David. But his prediction, spiritual application, jumped all the way over to Judas Iscariot when he went in the garden and kissed Jesus to identify him. Remember? You know, in history and in literature today, the Judas kiss, that's a label, that's a title that a lot of folks... Well, he received the Judas kiss. He was betrayed. He was mistreated. He was done wrong for doing right. That's what I'm talking to you about. That was Jesus. If you read in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They're talking about Jesus. He came unto the Jewish nation, his own. But they said, away with him, crucify him. They rejected him. He was doing good, he was doing right, but he was done wrong. You know, there is a follow-up, though, I'm glad to say it. My preacher boys in the college are over there working. They're normally on these front pews right here, and if they were, I'd say this to them. I'd say, fellows, pastors get done wrong sometime when they shouldn't. But don't let that stop you. There's a college professor, I could call his name, I won't. Way back, I used to read some of his writings, and he would have a group of preacher boys in his college, and he would speak to them, and he would say this to them. He'd say, fellas, you're going to get in the ministry, and sometime you're going to be mistreated. Sometime bad things are going to happen to you that you don't deserve. But he said, fellas, do not ever get cynical. Now, that is hard. Yes, it's easy to get cynical. It's easy to say, well... this is the way it's going to be. But you know what? You got to go back and look at Jesus. Yeah, he could have called 10,000 angels. Yeah, he could have, but he didn't. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow, what an example for us today. You know, when Jesus came and kissed Jesus on the cheek in the garden. You remember what Jesus said to him? He didn't say, "You traitor, you double crosser." He'd had a right to say it. That's not what he said. Jesus said to Judas in that betrayal moment, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Friend? No, Judas was a betrayer. He was a traitor. He was a deceiver. Bible says in John chapter 6 that he was a devil and that Jesus knew that he was. Satan was using him. But the truth of the matter is the Lord didn't say that. He said, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" There is a follow-up time, though. This wrong happens in family relationships. It happens in friendships. But one day there's going to be a follow-up time that reveals it all. Yeah, evil does not win, folks. It looks like it in the news. I mean, we can't hardly believe what else are they going to do. How much lower can they go? Haven't they hit bottom yet? And we think they've hit bottom, but they haven't. It gets worse. But it's not going to win. I've read the back of the book. It don't win. Amen? In families, I go back. I mentioned Joseph's family a while ago. I mentioned King David's family a while ago. But I go back to Joseph's brethren. Remember how they betrayed him? They sold him into slavery. He wound up in Potiphar's house and then in the dungeon. But there was a day come that those same boys had to come back and see him sitting on a throne and didn't know who he was, and had to come back and beg, as it were, for corn to save their family. And how that Joseph had control of restoring his brother and his daddy and all of that business. And Joseph had within his power to annihilate them all with one word. But you see, you watch the follow-up. Something big happened that day when those boys. Every time I read that story in the Bible, my heart goes out to Joseph. Joseph is over there, as it were, behind the curtain. They don't know that he can understand the Jewish language. They don't know who he is. And they're there, and he recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. There's a picture there of Jesus in Israel, the Jews. You see, he came unto his own received him not. One day, they're going to recognize him. You read over there in chapter 14 of the book of Zechariah, and it says, they're going to say, "Where'd you get the wounds in your hands and your side?" He's going to say, "I was wounded in the house of my friends." Oh, yeah. You read over there about the second or third chapter in the book of Hosea, and you'll read words like this right at the end of it. It'll say that when they see Jesus, they're going to say, he's going to say, "It is my people." They're going to say, "It is my Lord." The recognition. See, that was prefigured with Joseph's brethren and Joseph. Joseph being a type, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, when you see how it followed up, how it ended. But there's a greater work even done in the heart of Joseph. Oh, he's on the other side of the curtain or the wall. He hears his brethren talking. They don't know who he is, but he knows who they are. And the Bible says that Joseph's heart was so broken that he began to weep and cry, and he put the Egyptians away from him when he made himself known to his brethren. Jesus is going to make himself known one day to his brethren. Oh, yes. They're going to recognize him one day. But you see what a supernatural act it was for Joseph, a man, to forgive in his heart what his brothers had done to him. Think about it. That's a picture of the forgiveness we have in Jesus Christ. Oh, he loved us while we were yet sinners and died for us. We can't quite get a hold of that. Why would he do that? But he did. He did. And one day we're going to stand before him, just recognize him fully for what he is and what he done for us. You see, they rendered evil to Jesus for the good that he did. Paid for their sins on the cross, something they could not pay for. Yet, I want to say to you here today, you say, "I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have been Joseph's brother, and I wouldn't have mistreated him. I wouldn't have cried out, 'Crucify Jesus.'" Have you rejected him as your Savior? then that's what you're doing. You're doing the same thing. Same thing. You see, in Hebrews 10, God says it's a terrible thing to trample underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. Sears. So I would never do that. Well, let me ask you, have you ever been to a church and heard the good news that Jesus loved you and died for you? Paid for your sins you couldn't pay for yourself? Have you ever heard a preacher say that Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest? Have you heard a preacher say, Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. And yet you turned your back on him and you walked out of the building and you treated that as an unholy thing, not for me. Then you have done exactly what Joseph's brethren, what the Jews that said, crucify him, away with him. You're doing that. In God's eyes, you're doing that. And Hebrews chapter 10 tells you what God thinks about it. Go home and read it before you eat lunch today. I'm saying to you, don't take it lightly that God paid such a price to save your soul, to give you eternal life. You say, preacher, I can understand. I've been wronged for doing right. I was as a kid. I have my friends that have turned on me. Well, I want to say to you, Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he'll in no wise turn his back on you. No wise. Some of you say, well, I was mistreated by parents or by brothers or sisters or friends or relatives. Nobody understands. I want to tell you, there is one that can understand. Because he was treated that way himself. That's Jesus. I'd say to you, leave that seat, come to this altar and tell him about it. Lord, you know how bad I hurt, how bad I was mistreated, how bad I'm scarred. Yeah, well, he can understand that. And he can not only give you forgiveness, he can fix your heart to where you can forgive the one that scarred you. That's what happened with Joseph. He was able to forgive those brethren in a supernatural way. A picture of Jesus one day forgiving his own that crucified him on the cross. How about you this morning? How about you? You say, I can relate to being wrong for doing right. But there's one that was done much more wrong than you. And he's the one that can solve your problem, heal your scars, give you the power to forgive, and to get a whole new outlook on life. Do you know him? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the one that can do that. He's the one that invites you this morning to come. He'll save your soul, write your name in heaven. But even while you're alive on earth, he'll give you the power to live a victorious life, get over the scars, and heal up. No matter how bad you've been treated by loved ones of the world or whoever, he's the answer. He's the answer. He'd like to be your answer this morning. Will you let him? I pray you will. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads bowed. How many of you can say, preacher, I understand what you're talking about? I could even ask you the personal question. You don't need to raise your hand on it, but did your mind go back while I was preaching to a time you've been scarred, a time you've been hurt, a time you've been mistreated? I guarantee you all of us could do that one way or the other. But I want to tell you what, the answer is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was mistreated more than me or you, done more wrong than any of us, and he's your answer. He'd give you peace about it. He can help you forgive the offenders and give you a joy to live until he comes for you. How about it this morning? I pray you'll do that. Father, we ask your blessing on the invitation. Lord, we pray for that one that needs to come to Jesus today to have their sins forgiven, their name written in heaven. And Father, there are those that need to come to him today to get scars healed up, to be able to get over some time they were mistreated in this old world. I pray you'd bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. I'm going to step to the front. Will you come and receive Christ? Would you meet me here? Maybe you ought to come to the altar and say, God, help me get over a scar. Help me get over some mistreatment. He'll do it. Will you come to him this morning? I pray you will.
Just as I am with Without one plea, but that
will you come as others come? Will you just step out and come?
And that thou bidst me come to thee.
How about you this morning?
O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am and wait.
Saying, will you come?
Just as I am, though tossed about.
How about you?
With
many
a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God.
Let's bow our heads a moment. The music will continue. The invitation is still open. You got something that's been hurting you for years? Some deep scar? You know, you can get it fixed this morning by bringing it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Something you had happen, you've never gotten over. It's been a weight around your soul. It's flavored every bit of your life the wrong way. You may have lived with it for years. There's only one that's going to understand completely, and that's Jesus. He says that he can be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. Some folks look back and they say, well, that's where I made the wrong turn. That's where somebody done me wrong and I've hurt and it just ruined my life. And they go back to that. Some even make that an excuse for everything that they do wrong now. That's the devil's trick on you. You've reacted all your life to a wrong action that was taken against you. That's too bad. What you have in Jesus is a clean, new start. A clean piece of paper with no writing on it. That's what he'll give you. Give you a new start. Give you an ability like Joseph to forgive the ones that done the greatest harm to you. Many people listening to me this morning know what I'm talking about. There's forgiveness in Jesus, and Jesus can teach you to forgive. He can grant you that. Almost a supernatural gift from him is to be able to forgive others. As a preacher, I've counseled with family members. I've seen brothers that for years and years could not speak to each other. Sisters, their lives ruined. Some event, some wrong. Maybe it was a wrong for doing right, at least in the mind of the one that's scarred by it. Maybe it was a friend. All of us could tell some story like that, I'm sure. But you can rise above that in the Lord. rise above it, not be held down by it anymore. I'm going to let the congregation be seated because we have just one more little thing here to do. Let you be seated. We have a little short film that we're going to show where we're dedicating the lab that's been refurbished over here, dedicating it to Brother Wally Hartwig. Brother Hartwig was one of our staff here, one of our deacons. He's gone on to heaven. He was such a tremendous servant of the Lord. Lynn, are you here? Would you raise your hand if you're here? Any of the family, Hartwig family? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I can't see. Okay. All right, Lynn. I'm sorry. I'm looking another place. Appreciate you coming this morning. We want to look at this just a minute for sake of time here, but we have great memories and praise God for Brother Wally Hartwig and his service here with us at the church. Go ahead, take room and show it. If you go over to the ball field for the party this afternoon, you'll see the science lab. You'll see the plaque there. Brother Hartwig was not only a great Christian, great deacon here in the church, soul winner, bus worker, no telling how many years he run a bus route, but he was a great Christian school teacher. There's a lot of young people scattered out all over the place today that relate back to what Brother Hartwig taught them. And it's good to have his daughter Lynn and son-in-law Darren Ryan. I saw Darren back there, I think. Good to have y'all come today. We appreciate it so very, very much. And our memory of Brother Hartwig is just tremendous around here. And he left us a testimony. If anybody ever died in the harness without quitting and taking a break, it was him. And most of us saw that. We saw him fading in church, and what a great, great memory that he leaves for us. So if you go on over there with us today, we We'll let you see the lab. Do you have anything to share with me there?
I have a church to pray for. She's going in for some surgery and stuff tomorrow.
Okay, we have a lady that's come down. We appreciate our prayers. Going in for some surgery tomorrow. What's the name?
Lakeisha Smith.
Okay, if you can remember that. All right, let's stand. Appreciate you coming. Encourage you to be back with us tonight. We'll have the Walker family back in here, and we've probably got, I don't know how many people over there on the ball field doing all this work while we were in here this morning. They'll be back in tonight. We're looking for a good rally and a good church service tonight. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Father, may you add your blessing. And thank you again for the memory of Brother Hartwig and how he served and what an example to us. May you bless and keep us back to bring us back tonight. And may Jesus Christ, our Savior, get the glory. And we ask it in his name. Amen.